This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 349. We're starting a brand new franchise. We're starting it where it all began for The Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, and The Unexpected Journey from 2012. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate. So I've never seen none of these Hobbits. So these are first time watches for the first three. So I'm going to take myself out of this part. What did you think? Because I know you've seen all of them. So what did you think of this one?
So these are all first time watches for you. These are all three second time watches for me because I never saw them after the theater. I saw all three at the theater. Then I didn't buy them. And then when they came out with that 4K Steelbook set, I still didn't buy it. And then when I went to my Best Buy, they had one left of the Lord of the Rings and this one, and I was compelled to buy it. So I bought them. What did I think? I remember this movie, really all three, but this one, for whatever reason, it was not a gimmick, but the whole thing about the movie was that Peter Jackson filmed it in high frame rate. So this was filmed in like 120 frames per second rather than 24, which is like the traditional. So it was filmed at 120. It was filmed in 3D. It was filmed. So there was only a few theaters that can even show it in the high frame rate. But you remember, we did a movie on this podcast a while ago called Gemini Man, which was also filmed with all those. It was like 8K, 120 frames. And so I just remember that gimmick being a selling point, which even at the time made me nervous. Like, well, if they're more telling me about the technology than the movie, I don't know if I'm gonna love it. And when I left the theater, I thought it was okay.
Okay.
I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. But again, I'm not a big Lord of the Rings like crazy person. So watching those for our last series and then watching this, I have a different feeling about this movie than I did the first time I saw it.
I will say this. I do agree with you in that watching that movie, those 4, 5, and 6 compared to this one, totally different style of directing and everything. It changes. It changes. And I thought I was very shocked, especially that you got back Peter Jackson, the guy who directed the 4, 5, 6. This one looks totally different from the other one.
Yeah, this was supposed to be Guillermo del Toro. Mm. He was attached to it forever and it was going to be a two movie. It was just going to be two movies. And then he had to drop out because, of course, this guy, he freaking starts and stops like a million projects. And Peter Jackson's like, you know what? I'll come back. And then all of a sudden it was three movies again. So it's like, oh my gosh, another trilogy.
Yeah, no, I get it. All right, let's get to this financials here, okay?
Oh.
Because I was kind of like going, wow, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, didn't gross as much. And they didn't hit $1 billion. Budget-wise, it was $94 million. And then I think it grossed like $800 to $700 million, I believe, the first time.
It was around 8 to 9, because I remember it was almost $3 billion, all three
combined. Yeah, so it's one of those numbers, right? Well, let's see what Peter Jackson did here. The budget wise was $180 million.
Oh.
It is double Fellowship of the Ring. Okay.
I could see it.
Yeah. Very double.
I could see it.
Okay. But for a worldwide total of $1 billion at
this
the box
made a billion?
It made $1 billion. $303 million domestic, $714 international, for a total of $1 billion. So, Nate, are you shocked rewatching this movie and then looking at these numbers?
Okay. I'm surprised. I did not know this one made a billion. I didn't know it made that, but am I shocked? No. This is also, you know, The Hobbit is also a beloved book. I know a lot of people like it as far as in fantasy. It is Tolkien. It is Peter Jackson coming back. And you do have a lot of Lord of the Rings people in this, which we'll get into in the review. So I'm surprised, but I'm not like totally shocked.
Yeah, I'm a little shocked. Once I saw the budget, I was shocked.
The budget. Oh, I'm not surprised about the budget, though, because this does look like it cost $180 million.
No, it does look like, but I was kind of I didn't know it was going to be that high, 180. I thought it was like 120 max. No. It would double what Lord of the Rings one Fellowship was. So, okay. With that said, we gave you guys the financials. Let's check out what the critics and audience have to say about this first film.
Okay. So coming off Lord of the Rings, where it's up on our Mount Rushmore of trilogies. You know, every single movie had like 90 something, 89, I think, was the lowest critic audience score. This one, Unexpected Journey, critic score 64%. So much lower than any of the Lord of the Rings movies. The audience score, though, 83. You know, when you say it made a billion, audiences seem to like this a lot more than critics did. And yeah, but 64, not great. Not great.
This positive, is not, well, not it's still fresh. Yes. So it's not like it's not. But okay, well, we gave you guys a final, because I really want to get into this discussion. Yeah. We gave you guys the critics. We gave you guys the audience. All right, let's start it all off with the lead characters here. Now, I don't know the names of none of them. So I'm going to let you take the reins here. So what did you think of them?
Okay, you know what? Because I'm not going to pull nothing up. I decided I'm not going to pull nothing up because this proves my point about this movie. I just watched this last night. Mm-hmm. Okay. I know Bilbo Baggins. He's supposed, unlike Lord of the Rings, he is really, really supposed to be the main character. It's called The Hobbit. The Hobbit. He is the only Hobbit in the whole movie, except the first 5 minutes when they just had to do like a Frodo cameo. You know what I mean? But he's the only Hobbit. So he is the main character of this movie. Okay. Gandalf is back. And then I know Thorin Oakenshield, because that name is awesome. That's a cool name. And he's played by that guy who looks like Gerard Butler, but is not Gerard Butler. Richard Armitage is his name. The rest of them, I don't know any of their names. Even Gandalf, he'd just be like, Puffin, Buffin, Biffin, Diffin, Fluffin, Cuffer, whatever their names are. Like, he's just saying all their names. They're all running around. I don't know them either. So you don't know their name? I don't know their name.
Right. I mean, I pulled it up just in case.
Is it weird stuff like that?
It is. So one is called Fillin, Bober, Killin, Balin, Dolowin, Nori. It's really bad names. Yeah,
they all have one name. You know what I mean? Like, not memorable in any regard. Some of them don't even have lines. Like the real big fat one doesn't even talk in the whole movie. All he does is eat and be fat. So I'm factoring that in to my score. I gave the leads a 3. I like the actor Martin Freeman, the guy who plays Bilbo. I like him. I like him in a lot of movies that he's in. Good actor, and he's a good choice for Bilbo. I think I like a young Bilbo Baggins. I liked him. The problem is he ends up getting sidelined a lot, and this is supposed to be like he's the main character of this story, and there's whole sections where he's just like off to the side watching other people do stuff, and that hurt it for me because it's like, okay, well, if this is about him, but yet we're focusing on mostly Thorin Oakenshield has like the main arc. He's the king of the dwarves, and they're trying to get back to this thing so that he could become the king again, and Bilbo's just there, literally just there for the ride. And so I feel like he got sidetracked a lot. I like Thorin Oakenshield. I thought he was cool. He helped kind of get me to a 3 because I thought he was pretty gangster. I like when he, you know, wants to fight the dude at the end when he goes running at him like he don't care. I like his backstory. And I like that at the end, he's like, he didn't want Bilbo to come. He's like, you suck. And then by the end of it, they have sort of a bond because of what he did in that last fight. So I thought they were okay, but compared to the Lord of the Rings, not even close. I give it a 3.
I totally agree with everything you said. I feel the echoes of what you said. I don't know the names of these characters. I didn't care for these characters. And it's weird. Like you said it, this whole movie is about Bilbo Baggins' journey. And honestly, I didn't even feel it. Once they show Smeagol, they showed him getting the ring. Again, that was still a side story to the main story. I wasn't feeling it. Martin Freeman as Bilbo was actually really good. But even him started to be annoying a little bit. I don't know if you felt that. He was a little annoying for me. Like, I don't know. Adam, maybe I could be annoyed from Hobbits. It could be
Hobbits.
Yeah, so like, I wasn't feeling it as much with the characters. I gave it a 3. I agree. I gave it a 3 for good, but it's just not memorable. But anyway, yeah. That's it. 3 across the board here. Okay, now main villain, CGI. So
that white thing. That white orc guy that looks like a big baby. All right. We talked about Lord of the Rings. Villains are not the strong suit. I'm going to do a minor spoiler for you here. The second movie of this has probably the best villain in all the movies. I'm not even lying. Mm. And you got a little glimpse at the very end of this movie. So with that being said, that white baby guy, I like him. And I dislike him. I like him because I think he's like an orc guy. He's way bigger than the other ones. He has a unique look, you know? I kind of love the way his little... So he gets his hand chopped off, right? And then they fast forward and he has like a little metal spike hand. I love the way they did it because it's literally, you could see it. He just took something and jammed it into his arm and it's sticking out the other end. It's a cool look. My problem is he's all CGI. And you had all this great makeup. All the other orcs have the makeup and you couldn't just get a tall guy. Not even that. You couldn't even just do that thing of how they make Bilbo look like he's 2 foot tall and Ian McKellen look like he's 9 feet tall. Like, you couldn't put put a guy in makeup and have like a performance because he's just a CGI creature at that point. He does look cool with all the scratches and the scars and they had the wolves and all that. And then there was also that disgusting fat goblin guy that lives under the, when they fall in the cave or whatever.
Yeah.
I hated that guy. He's disgusting. And then you have those trolls that want to cook them. That whole section. I gave it a three. Very, like, I don't think it's horrible. And again, the bald white one with the wolves, he added a point. Otherwise, it would have been a two, honestly. But I wish he wasn't CGI. I wish he was a person.
Okay, so...
I'm interested to hear this.
Yeah, main villains for me, they were not memorable at all. Like, I couldn't... And it's funny, because you're talking about it, and I'm trying to remember the scenes. Because that's... Like, these movies is so weird, because it's so CGI heavy that, like, even the landscape of Rivendale didn't look like Rivendale where we saw it in Lord of the Rings. So, like, it looked more CGI in that one. Mm. But in terms of the villains, yeah, they didn't look as good. I don't know. I don't feel like they look good. It looked like a Marvel CGI character.
CGI.
It looked like that's what they look like. They look like the aliens from Avengers 1 when they come down and they fought in the streets.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I forgot what they call them. Parademon? Well, that's whatever. The Batman version, that's but Batman. The...
whatever them things are.
Yeah, the whatever they call the scrolls.
The big worms
or,
and the...
Yeah, that stuff. They look like those characters. And I was like, oh my God. But I liked his demeanor. I was like, wow, he's really ruthless. I was like, he's cool. He wanted to fight him. I like the wolves. The wolves look really cool. Mm-hmm. But again, it looks too CG for me. So I was like, eh. The troll scene was kind of whack. It just... I don't know why every fantasy movie.
It wasn't that funny.
No, it wasn't. But ooh, I did like all the thousands of orcs that was following them through the Mines of Moria or whatever the hell that was. That was really cool. And they were all running and I mean, it was CGI fest. But that was really cool. I was like, wow. I was like, they were coming out of everywhere. They look like cockroaches. That's pretty much it I got from the villains. So with that said, look, I'm going to give this shit a two. Ooh, for villains. Okay. I think it was decent. But for me, I agree with you. I think the strength of Lord of the Rings 4, 5, and 6 was that they were all makeup. And they had tons of extras. And then whatever they needed was filled in with CGI.
From wide shots. Front.
Yeah, yeah.
Like on wide shots.
Yeah, wide shots, it was CGI. But then the close-ups, it was my man's in makeup. And yeah. I think it added more to the anticipation and the whole craziness. So I think this is where this movie fails flat, is that they didn't do much practical, more CGI. So yeah, I give it a two for villain. I don't think he was memorable for me. But yeah, so okay. Two for me, three for you. Action scenes.
Okay. And by the way, isn't that funny? Like the budget is twice as much and it gotta be because of all this CGI. It gotta be because it's freaking everything is CGI. I will say, sidebar, this movie, I did watch it on the 4K disc. It does look
it's amazing.
It looks great. And a lot of this, they did film back in New Zealand. So a lot of the landscape's still beautiful, but way more big CGI set pieces. I thought the action was actually pretty good, to be honest with you. Not good enough for a five. Don't get me wrong. Not great. Not perfect. But there's a good amount. There's more action in this movie than there was in the Fellowship of the Ring, as far as firsts, comparing first movies. I did like the part at the end with the wolves and the, what are those little, the dwarves, when they're all like in the trees and all the wolves are coming and it gets on fire. That, like, that scene was really cool. I liked the other scene you were talking about where there's like millions of, when they're in the thing. That's where the big fat nasty troll guy, like, that whole scene was really good. Yeah. And then there's another one where they're fighting like out in the daytime. That was pretty cool. Like there's some good set pieces in this that I thought worked well. And there's a good amount of action. Honestly, there is a good amount of action. Certain other areas of this movie suffer for it, in my opinion, but I give it a four. I thought the execution of the action was really good and really well shot. I think Peter Jackson, one thing he did carry over for sure is the way he shoots action he's good at it, honestly. I wish he would just do like a straight up action movie, like modern times action movie, because I think he'd probably kill it, but he probably never will. So anyway, I give it a four.
You might be right. I mean, maybe he could do like a sci-fi action since he likes sci-fi.
Sci-fi, yeah. He doesn't do any shaky cam. He doesn't do any, like, you could always see everything and it's brutal. This PG-13 again, but people are getting their heads chopped off again. So
yeah, I agree. In terms of action, I agree with you. I gave it a four also, and slightly, even bending the lines of like, I didn't want it to, but I did it because there was way more than Fellowship, but it was CG. Most of it was all CG. And I think that's what hurts me. And I was like, oh, like we got back. battles of whatever when, you know, practical and whatever, and it's more heavy CG. I know we're leaning a lot saying CGI because this movie is tons of CG. I mean, there's no way to hide it. There is just it is. So, but I liked it though. I thought it was fun. I thought it was cute. We got to see more dwarves. I know that was one of our pet peeves of the other ones, that we never got to see dwarves, like a lot of the dwarves, and we do. And I was like, you know what? I kind of like it. I like them with their acts. They all work together well. So I kind of like when they all got like, they got handcuffed and everything. And then they started to get their weapons and then they started fighting. I was like, this is actually pretty cool. They wanted them run and throw themselves into the other guy. I was like, it was cute action for the, with the dwarves. So I kind of liked it. I was like, you know what? It's actually really fun. Gandalf, like I said, got into the mix in this one. My favorite scene, I'm going to be honest with you, was the scene in the Goblin King lair thing when they were trying to escape and running through the bridges and all that. I thought that was very well designed, and the pacing was actually fun. Like, I was like, you know what? This is actually a fun fantasy pacing scene, where to me, I felt like this scene mirrors the Mines of Moria, them running to get to through Balrog and stuff. Yeah. But I felt like this one was way more better because it was like all of them coming, and I guess they were utilizing the CGI. So you see all the so many of them popping up.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really
fun. I remember at the end when the guy's like, go tell that guy, and he goes on that little zip line. He's just like,
yeah. Yeah, so like with that, yeah, I gave it a 4. I thought it was great. 4 across the board here. This is where I want to see where you're going to go with storyline.
Okay, this is for me a classic split down the middle. Like, there's things I like and there's things I do not like. Number one, this feels too much like they were trying to just make Fellowship of the Ring over again. Like, literally, got a group of guys, get all together, to show up to Bilbo's house. What is that? That is our fellowship. We got all these dwarves and a thief. We need a thief. Gandalf is there. They're going on a journey to do something, right? They're going on a journey to go do something. The first one, they got to destroy the ring. This one, they got to go get this guy's throne back. They got to get rid of the Smaug and they got to get the throne back in the friggin' mountain or whatever, because all the dwarves are homeless. All right. So very similar. And then even the actual journey itself, we go and meet the elves. Cate Blanchett is there, just like the first one. This guy is there, just like the first one. I forget his name. Hugo Weaving's character. I don't remember his name. Whatever his elf name is.
Tyrion or something like that.
Sure. And then we have the White Wizard. He's back. Christopher Lee is back. Sauron is back, but he's good this time because this was 60 years before. So now you get to see him before he was like totally evil. So that was actually, out of all those cameos, that was my favorite one because he was different than he was the last time we saw him. He was actually like friends and not like evil. Then you have, there's a lot of similarities and there's a lot of walking. Just like that movie. They're walking through the hills. They're walking through the snow. They're walking through. Oh, we didn't even talk about it in action when the big mountains fight each other. When they're walking on the mountains and the mountains and the one headbutts the other one. That's so dumb. So yeah, there's that. And then on the flip side, like I liked some of the character interactions. I like, even small stuff, like when Bilbo wants to leave and then that one's talking to him. He's like, no, man, you know, like we want you to stay. He's like, no. He's like, you're just homesick. He's like, you don't even have a home. You're homeless. I love that part. He's such a jerk. And he's like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. And then they have the shoehorn. Okay, the Gollum scene. We got to talk about this because we talked about it in the last one. I don't even like Gollum as a character. Okay. However, to me, this might be the best Gollum scene in any of the movies. Like the riddles, the thing with the riddles where they're going back and forth. I liked it. My problem with it is, why is it here and why is it so long? It's like 15 minutes long. This movie feels padded out. It feels like they stretched everything they could to make it as long as possible and to make it 3 movies. This movie, I think it would have been better if they followed the first thing, made it 2 2-hour movies. Instead, we get 3 3-hour movies, which it just feels like... I don't know about all that. So I gave it a 3. It's a little boring. And I think you might touch on that a little bit. I had to watch it, stop it, eat, and then come back and finish it. And I didn't even watch the extended cut. I just watched the regular version. But I gave it a 3. I felt like it was trying too hard to be Fellowship of the Ring.
Well, you're nice, because I gave it a 2.
Yes.
Yeah, I gave it a 2. I'm sorry. The first 30 to 40 minutes was boring. I was like, this is boring. It was useless. I didn't know what we were doing. I mean, 40 minutes in, I didn't know what we were doing. I don't know. I was like, what is going on? Like, I was so thrown off of Frodo in the beginning of the movie. It felt out of the blue, didn't it? I was just like, the movie starts, I see Frodo. I'm like, wait, did I put the wrong disc in? I was like, where? I was like, what are we watching? And then you see, you know, rest in peace, the main actor that played Bilbo is there. And I was just like, oh, I guess they're going to give you some flashbacks or whatever, just so they could get these people in. But it was so nonsense. It was just nonsense. It was just, he was just there just to be there. Like, then Gandalf and him was weird. Like, I thought they were friends, but they were like weird. Like, no, I'm not doing this. And I was just like, what? I thought this is your adventure. Like, you didn't want to go? Like, I just felt like it was just weird. Like, and then they had that meeting in the house and they ate all the food. That was like 30 minutes. Yeah.
I'm like, what is this?
And then they started. I like the Dwarven song. I was kind of into it. I'm not gonna lie. I think that's the song. I think my wife said that's the song Aragorn sings. He was singing or something. And I was just like, really? I was like, whatever. But I thought the song thing was cool. But other than that, I was just like, this shit is really boring. Then Bilbo runs. And honestly, from there on, towards halfway through the end of the movie, I was like, what is this movie about? Like, literally, I asked my wife, I had to pause it and go, what is this film? It's like, is it about the ring getting thrown away? And I was like, no, that's Lord of the Rings. I was like, this one is Bilbo finds it and he doesn't tell nobody, which Gandalf alludes that he has it because he saw it, so he put it in the pocket. And I was just like, okay, cool. But and then I kind of figured, oh, okay, it's about the, you know, Dwarven guy trying to get his castle back and all that. But it wasn't clear. I felt like it wasn't like a clear storyline. Like it didn't, like, I guess to say it is, like, it didn't feel like it was a guided by a storyline. I just felt like how you said it. I felt like they just tried to throw so much in it. Like, well, the fans want Smeagol. Let's throw in Smeagol and him together. The fans want Gandalf. Let's throw more Gandalf with these guys. Whereas it's just tell the fucking story, man, from begin to end. Like, at least I could know what we're going. Like, they gave you flashbacks of the Dwarven thing, which I thought was really good. The story of the background, I thought that was cool. I kept calling it the Mines of Moria. My wife was like, that's not the damn Moria scene. I was like, I know, but I was like, this shit looks the same. So I thought that was pretty cool. But I just felt like it was a lot of confusion, maybe in my part, because I kept comparing it to the other sequels, but I couldn't connect with it. I did not care for those characters at all. I hated Bilbo Baggins in this one. I thought he was a great actor, but I just felt like the character, I was like, what's the point of you being here? I like that they found their swords in that elven cave, that they got the, you know, the stinger, and, you know, and it looked way better now with the glowing blue. Yeah. And I was just like, that looks cool. But other than that, to me, it didn't do nothing for me. So I gave it a 2. Honestly, I didn't connect. Whereas the first Fellowship, man, I could have sit there. I could have saw 10 hours of it and I'd be like, yo, this thing is awesome. This one, thank God I didn't put the extended cut, because I would have been tight. Yeah, I give it a 2. You gave it a 3. Okay, overall.
Yeah, not only do they need, this doesn't need an extended cut, it needs a shortened cut. There's a shortened cut of this that will be better, honestly. Overall, I gave it a 3. I think it's okay. I feel pretty similarly as when I saw it at the theater to now. So, like, I did not hate it when I left the theater. I thought, okay. The problem is, it feels very much like a first chapter of something where better stuff's coming. Mm. And so it's not super investing. Unlike Fellowship, which now that we rewatched all three, Fellowship is still my favorite Lord of the Rings movie. This one is not the same. I do think that, if I remember correctly, I think the next movie's better, the second one. So I think it's fine. Again, it's shot well. It's well made. I do like the music in this, by the way. I like that they brought back Howard Shore, who did the music for the Lord of the Rings movies. And I'm glad they didn't just copy the score. Like, when he finds the ring, it has that theme from the original. But other than that, it's like a different score. The music's really good. I think it's a fine movie. Decent. Pretty good. I give it a 3.
Yeah, so I agree everything you say. I gave it a 3 too. I think it's a good film. I'm never watching this again, but...
No.
Yeah, I'm never watching it again. But I think it's a decent film. It does feel like a novel book. I just think certain things... You know what it felt like? This is what it felt like. Now that you said Guillermo del Toro was directing it, right? And he left the project and Peter Jackson took over. It feels like that. It feels like he took someone else's project and tried to finish his work. Because it doesn't feel like a Peter Jackson movie. I mean, he shot it, he did whatever, but it doesn't feel like, if it was his imagination, it feels like it is Guillermo del Toro's imagination. It's just that he had to finish it with, maybe he did give some tips and bits and like, dude, can I call you for some ideas or...
Yeah. I think del Toro's still listed as a producer on it.
And too. A screenwriter too.
Yeah, and a writer. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So he had a hand in it, whereas the first one, you know, Peter Jackson was one of the I think it was him and someone else that wrote the first three movies. So this one had four writers on it, if you notice in the credits. And it feels like that.
Yeah, it does feel like that. It just feels like he took someone's work and is like, let me try to complete it just to get it out there. So for me, it hurt it a bit. I'm never too crazy with cameos, but if it works for the film, awesome. But if it don't, then it's kind of like a waste. But Gandalf stuff, I thought it was cool and stuff, but I gave it a 3. Like I said, I'm never watching this again. All right, total points.
Total for me is a 16 out of a 25.
All right.
It's fine. I agree with you, though. I can't imagine needing to watch this one again.
I gave this one a 14 out of a 25. Yeah.
Rough start.
Very rough start to the Hobbit.
I don't think this one will be going up on the mountain of trilogies.
With that said, it's a 14 for me. You gave it a 15?
16.
16. You gave it a 16. Now, I'm looking forward to the second one because I saw the dragon in the in Uncle Scrooge's vault. So I'm like, okay.
Scrooge McDragon.
Yeah, the Scrooge McDragon.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that because I feel like something in my bones tell me that this one might have more action and more story.
I remember liking the second one.
Okay.
Whereas this one, I felt like I barely remembered it. When I was watching it, I was like, I don't even remember a lot of this. I still remember parts from part two.
Okay.
And Benedict Cumberbatch is the voice of the dragon. So we got that deep, like, it sounds talks? Cool.
Yeah, dragon? Sounds
cool. The dragon can talk. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Smaug. That's why he's the villain. That's what I'm saying. It's better. I think you're going to like it better.
Okay. All right. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. All right. So what's coming up next on the podcast?
All right. Well, continuing on with Mel Gibson Month, we're doing a double first time watch, a movie I never seen, you never seen, called Bird on a Wire from 1990. And then we will be continuing along with the Hobbit trilogy, and this will be The Desolation of Smaug.
Smaug.
You got a glimpse of him in this movie at the beginning. You saw him burning some crap, and you saw his eyeball. That's pretty much all you get.
I liked it. I thought the design looked really well. All right, guys. If you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Nate goes live every other Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern on his Nateflix Instagram account. You guys can follow AMG Podcast on Instagram at Geeks and Flicks. And of course, you can follow us on YouTube. Also, we have an AMG Podcast YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/@actionmovieguys. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. And my co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.